Thank you for joining us on our Change Lives, Change Your Lives broadcast. And now, let's listen to our special guest.
We're going to push through this morning, all right? Some days you just got to push through. You just got to push through. But when we're in Christ, we never lose. Amen? All right, so, honey, you got the music cue? I sent you a text. You're looking at me like, no. All right, so I guess I'll move on then since she doesn't have it cued. All right, so this morning, let's turn in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, verse 1. And I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation this morning. It says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats the world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God." So how many people do we have in here today that say Jesus is the Son of God? Well, you believe Jesus is the Son of God. Okay, I got about maybe 5 or 10 hands there. So there is a scripture that says that you deny me before men, then I'll deny you, right? Anybody ever heard of that scripture? All right, that's in the Bible. Well, Jesus said, if you deny me before men, then I'll deny you. So I'm going to ask you that scripture. I'm going to ask you that question again. How many of you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? All right, there you go. See how that happens when we challenge, you know, but when we challenge our thinking with the Word of God, we change our response, right? And sometimes we got to do that, but that's a side story. That ain't what I'm going to talk about today. But anyway, two things I want to cue here is it says everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And then it drops down and says in verse 4, "For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God." Let's go to John chapter 16. Everybody still believe Jesus is the Son of God, right? Okay. All right. That's awesome. Let's start with verse 5. It says, "But now I am going away to the one who sent me." And this is Jesus speaking. "And not one of you is asking, where am I going? Instead, you grieve because of what I told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you." So has Jesus gone away? That's a question. Yes. Okay, Jesus has gone away. So that means that he has sent an advocate, because he said it's best for me to go away. If I go away, I'm going to send an advocate, a helper, someone to help you. All right, so we believe Jesus is the Son of God. He's gone away, and so he has sent a helper. So drop down to verse 7:13. So when the Spirit of truth comes, talking about the advocate, talking about the helper, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. So we believe Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus said, "It is best for me to go away so I can send you the helper, the advocate." And we all agree that he did that. And so he said, this advocate, this helper, will do what? It says he will guide you, me, into all truth. He will tell you what I tell him, what I get from the Father. So whatever that advocate helper is telling you will come from the Father. So as a believer who has victory over the world, we have a helper that guides us and tells us from the Father in all truth. That makes sense. Everybody still believe all that? Still believe all that? Okay, because it's coming out of, okay. All right, so what I want to talk a little bit today about is that we have an enemy. Anybody believe that? Okay. We have an enemy that his attempt is to get you to not act like all of that I just gave you is true. You have an enemy that is trying to get you to believe that you do not have the victory over the world. He's trying to get you to believe that you do not have help, so you got to do it all yourself. He's trying to get you to believe that you don't hear from the Father. The stuff you're hearing is just stuff. And so he's trying to get you to get off course. The way I put it is like this. You have the victory. The Word of God says you have the victory. It's like this. You've won the battle, right? You've won the championship. We just recently had a bunch of basketball championships. So he's trying to get you. You've won the championship. You have the trophy. But he's trying to get you to live like you didn't win and you don't have a trophy. He's trying to take your trophy. Because the trophy is, you can look up there and say, yeah, I won. But he's trying to take that from you so that you don't act like, you don't have confidence in your victory. You don't won. The victory is through Jesus Christ. We just read that, right? But the enemy is trying to get you to live as though that didn't happen. You don't have the victory. You don't have the ability to live in confidence and authority in this earth realm, even though you've won. Even though you have won. So what does that look like? So if, okay, I watched the South Carolina Iowa game last night because I was traveling and I didn't get a chance to see it last week. And so at the end, you know, everybody was really excited because they won, right? There was even some crying that went on, right? They were very excited for their victory. Did anyone step up to the mic crying and say, oh, man, I didn't make that shot. I really feel bad about how I played. That girl, she scored 18 points on me in the first. Did anybody step up to that mic and act like they had lost? Did anybody step up there crying like We don't have that trophy right. We don't have a victory. Anybody step up there to that mic as if they were just defeated? No. Can anybody take that victory away from them? No. It's done. The game is over. It's done. It's written in the records, right? It's written somewhere to where anybody 20 years from now can go back and say, who won the Women's National Championship in 2024? It'll always be there. That's the same we have when we're in Christ. It's done. Through Jesus Christ, it's done. Nobody can erase that. It has nothing to do with you. It's all between God and Jesus Christ. It's sealed. The deal is sealed. Okay? All right? But do we sometimes cry, I don't know what I'm going to do? Man, this world is whooping my behind. I messed up. Woo, I messed up. Woe is me. I ain't enough. I ain't good enough. I don't have enough. I'm just waiting for Jesus to come back so I can get out of here, man. Any of us do that? You ain't got to nod or anything like that. Just do any of us do that? I say we do sometimes. We whine, we complain as if, man, you don't have the victory. That the victory kind of slipped away somehow. That the trophy ain't on the shelf, but the victory is gone. How many of you had trophies when you were a kid that you don't know where they are now? Okay? Does that take the victory away? No. You still got the victory. If you can remember those things, you can go back. And that would mean most of us can't remember that stuff now. But it can't take the victory. I think Joe was just talking to some guy this week where we had a meeting and they played it. What y'all say y'all played in the 70s or something like that? They can go back, but you got any trophies from the 60s and 70s? Probably not. And so what we want to talk about today is a little bit around, although we got the victory, man, you got an enemy that's trying to take your trophy every day. He's trying to get you to live like, think like you have not won. Because when we look like, think like we hadn't won, guess what? We don't act like we've won. And so that limits our ability and our confidence to share my trophy. My trophy is Jesus Christ. My trophy is Jesus Christ. But when I think like, feel like, act like I have not won, I ain't going to share that trophy, because then the people will be looking, oh, you got the trophy, but you look like you wiped out. All I hear from you is doom and gloom, whine, or not any confidence about, yeah, I really won. I really won through Jesus Christ. I really won through Jesus Christ. It ain't got nothing to do with what I look like. But the enemy is trying to take that trophy away so that you don't have confidence and authority in what you do. So I'm going to try to share with you. I ain't going to try. The Holy Spirit of God is going to help me share with you what that looks like. Okay, so we're going to go through two contrasting stories, and we're going to believe that the Spirit of God is going to impart on you what he needs to hear, or what you need to hear. Anybody remember the story of Samson? Samson was a bad dude, wasn't he? Samson was born what they call a Nazarite, meaning he had a dedicated purpose to deliver the children of Israel from Philistines. Part of that being a Nazarite, meaning there were a few things around his lifestyle to uphold. Number one, he wasn't supposed to drink any alcohol or eat anything from grapes, partake of anything from the vine, as it so to speak. Number two, he wasn't supposed to touch any dead body. And number three, he wasn't supposed to cut his hair. We probably just remember he wasn't supposed to cut his hair. But he had three things he was supposed to do, okay? So what do you remember about Samson? Anybody? I know that's Old Testament, but what do you remember about Samson? He died? Oh, Delilah. Yeah, yeah. Anything else? Huh? Beautiful what?
Beautiful locks.
Oh, beautiful hair, locks. Okay, sorry. Anything else about Samson? Killed the Philistine with the jawbone. Anybody else? How many Philistines did he kill with a jawbone?
A whole bunch of them.
That's true. He was strong. He was powerful. Okay? And so a few of his feats was he kind of destroyed a lion that approached him. He just kind of ripped it in two. Okay? He caught 300 foxes, tied the tails together of each one, and put a fire thing. Any of you ever caught a fox and tied the tail? That's pretty bad. He killed 1,000 men with a jawbone. He went downtown one night and whooped up on about 30 men and took their clothes because he had lost a riddle wager or whatever. But you think, as powerful as he was, what did he do? He died. I would say he died not fulfilling what God, but not living the life God intended for him to live. That's what I would say. Why is that? As powerful as he was, physically, as powerful as he was, what happened? All right, let's read a little word here. You might say, what this got to do with anything? All right, so let's go to Judges. Judy. Turn me down just a little bit. Okay. Thank you. A little bit more. All right. Good. Good, good. You good. All right. Thank you. All right. Judges chapter 14. So we won't go into all of it, but just want to read a few things. So one of Samson's things was, I think, he liked women, okay? And so I'm not sure if that was a character flaw or what, but he liked women. So he had numerous women in his life other than Delilah, but Delilah was one of them. But in Judges chapter 14, he essentially had, you know, giving this riddle to some people around one of his women. And it's kind of like a wager or whatever. If you could figure out the riddle, then this and that will happen. But somehow the people that were involved got to his woman, and it led to him losing the riddle, losing the wager. So let's go to verse 15. It says, on the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband to explain the riddle from us, or we will burn down your father's house and you in it. Did you invite us to this party just to make us poor? So Samson's wife came to him in tears and said, you don't love me. You hate me. You have given my people a riddle, but you haven't told me. He said, I haven't even given the answer to my father or mother, he replied. Why should I tell you? So she cried whenever she was with him and kept it up for the rest of the celebration. At last, on the seventh day, He told her the answer because she was tormenting him with her nagging. Then she explained the riddle to the young men, and essentially, he lost. Samson, this bad dude, lost. But he was bad physically. He had all this power, but it was physical. Okay? So a key to remember is on the seventh day, he told her the answer because she was tormenting him with her nagging. So what was the impact? And don't answer this right now. As big and as bad as Samson was, where did he fail? Keep the answer to yourself. All right, let's go to Judges 16. Remember, Samson had showed a few character flaws. Number one, he had chosen a woman from the Philistines. Don't know if that's good, bad, or indifferent, but it kind of turned sour for him to where this woman he had right here, she ended up kind of getting him in a little bit of a bind. And so he had another woman, and then he got to Delilah. And so we're going to skip the other women in between, and we're going to go to Delilah. All right, so 16. All right, so same thing. Samson had a kind of a confrontation with the Philistines. And so again, he had a woman. And his enemy, again, came to the women. So verse 4, it says, sometime later, Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah, who lived in the valley of Sorek. The rulers of the Philistine went to her and said, entice Samson to tell you what makes him so strong and how he can be overpowered and tied up securely. Then each of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. The first woman they enticed with, we're going to kill you if you don't help us wipe him out. This one they enticed her with wealth, with money. So anyway, either way, they agreed, right? Whether whatever it was. And so there were three different iterations where, so Samson said to Delilah, so Delilah said to Samson, verse 6, please tell me what makes you so strong. Verse 7, Samson replied, he just told her a lie, essentially. Okay? Verse 10, afterward, Delilah said to him, you've been making fun of me and telling me lies. Now, please tell me how you can be tied up securely. Samson replied. He told her another lie. All right. Verse 13. Then Delilah said, you've been making fun of me and telling me lies. Now tell me, how can you be tied up securely? Samson replied, and this time he gets closer to the truth. All right? She's been hitting him and he's been telling her crazy, but this time now he puts a little bit of the truth in there. Okay? Essentially, but he lied again. All right, let's go to verse 15. Then Delilah pouted. How can you tell me I love you when you don't share your secrets with me? Whoa. Okay, she hit him low, didn't she? All right. You made fun of me three times now, and you still haven't told me what makes you so strong. She tormented him with her nagging day after day until he was sick to death of it. Finally, Samson shared his secret. My hair. So what did you hear in those two different things? In the first one, the woman of Timnah, she nagged him, okay, until he gave in. Delilah, she nagged him until he was sick to death of it. Do you think that was one conversation? Well, evidently it wasn't one conversation. But how long do you think it took for that to happen? Probably a little bit of time, okay? But a couple things to note here. She nagged him until he was sick to death of it. Finally, Samson shared his secret with her. My hair has never been cut. He confessed. So finally, remember he'd been telling lies. Finally, something came out of his mouth that was the truth. But it was the wrong time. Okay? So I would say this. When you think about power, we got to put it in its right context. Because some of us do the same. We have power in our physical being. We're strong people or whatever. Some of us have power in our pockets, meaning we got plenty of money. Some of us have power in our education. We're some educated people. Some of us got power in relationships. We know all kinds of people. We got all kinds of associations. Power can look in a lot of different ways. But keep in mind, there's an enemy. There's an enemy that regardless of how powerful you are in this world, his main focus is to get you separated from the things of God. And so we got to ask, so how does he do that? Because oftentimes we see powerful people fail. We see even powerful ministers of God. I mean, you get there and you're like, how in the crap did that happen? I would say you probably could wrap it up in a Samson story. Samson got very confident in his strength. That's why he was lying and playing with what I call the enemy. Just put some bowstrings and whatever. And then he'd go out and kill a bunch of people. Or just do this. And then he'd go out and kill a bunch of people. So he got confident in playing with the enemy, the way I look at it. But he didn't realize he had an enemy that was really close to him. His Delilah. But should Samson have known? Should he have known? What did the first woman do? Did she not do the same thing? She did the same. She nagged him until he got sick to death of it. And then he just, okay, enough. Leave me alone. How many of us get in a place in our mind where you just want whatever's going on in there to stop? How do I get this to stop? How do I get this, I'm not good enough to stop? How do I get this, I don't have enough to stop? How do I get this, you'll never be good enough to stop? How do I get all this? How do I get it to stop? That thing will be the death of me. I'm worried to death. Anybody ever heard that said that? I'm worried to death. Okay, something has happened, and now you confess something. Something has got you to a point to where now something came out of your mouth that's the truth, but is it the truth? It's worldly truth, but is it the truth? Get what I'm saying? Although you got the victory, you believe in God, you got the victory. So why are you worried to death? Why are you sick to death? This thing is tormenting me. Why? You got the victory. You even got the Spirit of God helping you, guiding you. Why is this thing tormenting you so? Because you have an enemy. All right, thank you. Because you have an enemy. That's what you got to keep in mind. You got an enemy. You got an enemy, man, trying to get you to stop. He ain't going to come to you and say, "Brother Bruce, I'm the enemy. Let's fight." He ain't going to do that. We don't fight flesh and blood. It ain't just like face value. The enemy is crafty. I know your name, Darnell. The enemy is crafty, inside joke. The enemy is crafty. He uses a crack in our character. Just like he saw a crack in Samson's character. And he uses that to get in. But is he just going to come and just swipe you out, swoop you up and suplex you? No, 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 no. He's going to come in that crack. And he's going to start working on your thinking. He's going to start challenging your thinking till you get sick to death of it, potentially. And you just say, "Forget it. This stuff don't work. Why am I going to church every week if all I think about is my past all week long, about how horrible of a person I was, why do I got to keep thinking about all this stuff? I became a believer. I should be smooth sailing." But I'm here to tell you, if you're a believer, ain't nothing smooth about it. Other than the enemy is going to keep trying to wipe you out. But you have the victory in Christ, and you got the Spirit of God helping you. So why do we get there? How does the enemy get in? Just like Samson. Again, I think he became very confident in all this strength that he had, all this physical strength. And sometimes we do the same thing. We get confident in our ability to think. We get confident in our strength. We get confident in our money. My money, I'll be all right. We get confident in our job, our position. I'll be all right. All the time, the enemy is looking for that crack. Let me get to his thinking. Yeah, he'll keep giving you money. He'll keep giving you promotion. He'll keep giving you relationship. Whatever your strength is, he'll keep giving it to you. The enemy will keep giving it to you. Because he knows that's what your confidence is in. While on the backside, there's something that in the wee hours of the night, you feel like crap. You feel like you ain't good enough. You feel like you ain't gonna never get ahead. You feel like, man, I wear my Jesus T-shirt all the time, and I ain't nowhere near Jesus than a man. That's what you feel, but you look good. You look powerful, and that ain't to be funny, because a lot of us look good and powerful, and may even be sitting in this room, and it's tormented in our very thinking of, I just don't know, man. I don't know what I'm gonna do tomorrow. I just don't. This stuff just ain't. Is it true? All right. So, okay. So, again, this is one contrast to this is how the world looks at it, because the world tells you promotion, power, relationship. That's who you, where you work at. Oh, I work at SGL. I'm the CEO. Why you got to say all that? I just asked you where you work at. You know why you got to say all that? Because that's where your power comes from. Who are you? Oh, my name is such and such, and such and such is my relatives, and I know that guy, and I know that gal, and I'm from the lineage of what so, 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 so. Why you had to say all that? Because that's where your power comes from. We don't think about it because the enemy is crafty in, yeah, we're good. Stay there. I just need a crack to get in. I just need a little crack. Give them the promotion. Now you are the CEO. But now we got to do something a little on the shaky side. Now what? Oh, I got to keep this position. So I might make an unethical decision. Because I gotta, if I do this, I might get the next job. That's the thing of the it don't stop. Whatever your power is, that yearning don't stop. And where the enemy sneaks in, he sneaks in a little something to do something a little cracky, a little flaky. And man, when he gets in, what they say, a little lie, grow into a big lie, grow into a, and then the fall. 20 years later, you're about to retire, and then everybody finds out, and you like, wow, at this point in my life. Okay? So that's kind of like a Samson. He had all these defeats, all these victories, and then he came crashing down till he became their entertainment. He became the thing that they poked fun at. Okay, the thing they looked at in the newspaper and said, dog, that dude? And then they kind of laughed about it. All right, so contrast. What a couple things I want you to get out of this is this. She prodded him day and night, day after day after day after day, until he confessed, I am sick to death of this. And then he opened his mouth. Just remember that. Prodded him, pestered him, poked him, hid him, day after day after day after day, until he just got sick to death of it. Then he did something. Opened his mouth. All right, so worldish, that's the world. Now, let's look at how this should look. And we want to contrast a couple things. So let's go to, let's go to Matthew chapter 4. And what I always say, guys, is this, is, man, when you see somebody fall, ain't nothing to look at and laugh. It ain't nothing to think lightly of. What I always tell myself and always tell my kids, we this close ourselves. We this close. It's just a decision. Don't put a whole lot of confidence in this flesh. Don't put a whole lot of confidence in the flesh. Don't look at that person and say, woo, what the crap happened? There was a process that they got there somehow. Okay? And we, if we're not diligent, we can be in that same process and don't even realize it. All right, so Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, notice, what did he do? He said something. Do you think he physically said something? I don't think he physically said anything. I think it was more right up here. He said something. And that's what we hear stuff a lot of times is right up here. During that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, was he the Son of God? Yeah. Okay. All right. Tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no. The scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Why he respond like that, you reckon? All right, let's go to the next one. A lot of truth was in that. He was the Son of God, right? Do you think he could have turned stones into bread? Probably so. Why didn't he do it? All right, next one, verse 5. Then the devil took him. Again, notice the devil didn't, he didn't just back off. He came right back. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, again, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on the stone. Is that in the Bible? That's in the Bible. That's scripture. The devil said some scripture. Jesus responded. The scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. So the enemy comes. And like I said, he ain't going to come up and say, Bruce, I'm the enemy. Do something with me. Man, he comes with some stuff that just sounds straight and sweet. Like, oh, man, that's good. Yeah. That makes sense. That's even out of the word. Amen. The enemy is crafty. He ain't no joker. He's defeated, but he ain't no joker. So when the thoughts come, we gotta give a lot of attention to what is being said. Why is being said? The environment about when it happens. There's a lot of circumstances around when things go on that makes a difference about what is said. So you got to consider all that. You got to consider all of that. Why'd that thought come now? Does this line up with something? What should I do with it? Should I just run with it? Or should I All right. Verse 9. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, power, might, position. I will give it all to you if you would kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him. For the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil went away and angels came and took care of Jesus. So in each situation, Jesus did what? Spoke the word. In each situation, he said something. Just like Samson said something. Jesus said something in both situations. So number one, when the torment comes, or when whatever comes, we got to say something. That's number one. You got to say something. Just thinking it ain't saying something. How many of you have thought some stuff and nothing ever came out your mouth? And you're like, sure, I sure wish I had said that. It just don't happen because you think of it. You got to say it. So you got to say something. Okay? Samson said something. Samson said the wrong stuff. Jesus said the word of God. Jesus said the word of God. How do we get to a place to where when same happens to us? Remember, we are born of God. We have victory over this world. We have the Spirit of God to help us. We are children of God. So we're made in the image and likeness of God. We have all that same potential to do what Jesus did. But if we are whining and somebody done stole my trophy, somebody done took Jesus away from me, life is killing me, life is beating me down, somewhere in there, we didn't say the scripture. We let the enemy take our trophy. You notice, what did the enemy do when Jesus got finished? Huh? Anybody, what did the enemy do when Jesus got finished saying what he said? He left. Why? He's defeated. He knows he's defeated. So when we speak the word of God, he knows, I got to go. I can't stay here with that. But when we speak worldly stuff, I am sick to, I am worried to, I don't know what I'm going to do. When we speak that, oh, he hunkers down. Oh, I can stay here a while. Why? He's of the world. When we speak the word of God, that cat got to leave, and he knows it. That's the difference. And we're in a better position. As powerful as we think Samson was, we're in a better position. Why? We got the Spirit of God to help us. Samson didn't have the Spirit of God. The Spirit had to stir for Samson to do what he did. We got the Spirit of God with us all the time. So number one, we got to say something. But you got to say the right stuff. That's number two. We got to say the right stuff. If we say the right stuff, the enemy will leave. The Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee. This is an example. This, what I just read you, is how you resist the devil. You got to resist the devil by speaking the word. It got to come out of your mouth at that situation, at that time when that thought, you can't let the thought stay 2 weeks and then finally say something. When that thought comes, you got to speak the word and stop it. That's what Jesus done. I don't think he waited. Well, shoot, let me think about this a few weeks, devil, and I'll get back to you. It's too late because the thought keeps going. The thought keeps moving. It keeps creating. It just builds. And it makes you less confident later that you speaking in. You might say, ah, blah, blah, blah. You might mutter something, but you ain't going to say it with confidence because it done took you too long. Resist the devil and he will flee. How do we resist the devil? Opening our mouth, saying the right thing, which is the word of God, and the enemy will leave. So we don't have to be casualties of this world because we already got the victory. But how do we keep the enemy from stealing our trophy, from making us feel like we hadn't won, making us seem like we just, old worm crawling. How did he get us to not feel like that? Not feel like we're less than and all this stuff? Is when he comes, we got to speak the word of God. And he will come. And he will come. I'm going to wrap up. I'm going to ask you all this question. So, this gave us just three scenarios where Jesus spoke the word. Do y'all think that was the only time that the enemy tempted Jesus? No. The Bible said he tempted, he was tried just like we are. That's daily. Might be hourly. Might be every minute. He's just like us. That's an example of what you do with it. But the same pounding that you get, that I get daily, Jesus experienced the same thing, and yet he didn't fall. So that means that we could do the same thing. But, what's the but? Ain't nobody on it. Okay. But, it ain't easy. That's the challenge with this, is it'd be great if you resisted the devil two times and you know you ain't had to work with him no more, right? How many of us, I mean, we as humans, we don't like stuff we just got to do forever and a day. Unless it's something related to our power platform. If it's, oh man, I'm an educator, yeah, I'll go to school forever. If I'm all about the physical, yeah, I'll stay in the gym. If I'm all about the money, yeah, I'll keep doing whatever to make the money. But the tough stuff, for the guy that likes the power, likes the mental power, but don't like the physical, you ain't gonna get him in no gym every day. Get what I'm saying? That ain't his bent. So he ain't going to no gym and work out every day. That's why the New Year's resolution, everybody done with him by February. That's because everybody mentally ascends to what it takes for that. You see that guy with all them, girl with all the muscles? Oh man, I'm gonna try that January 1. You don't last because that ain't your bent. It ain't easy. And I would say, this is just me saying, with the things of God, there's a lot of resistance to not do those things. And that's why we kind of fumble it a little bit. That same intensity, we go to the gym or we go get educated or we split the spending. The same intensity, we got to put to the things of God. Satan does the same. That's what he does. Remember, he came to Jesus with three different things. He's like, well, shoot, that didn't work. Let me try something else. Well, that didn't work. Let me try something else. Then he left. I guarantee he came back. Because the scripture says, hey, when the spirit comes to the house and the house is clean, he goes away and he comes back seven times stronger. He ain't going to stop. And so you say, well, man, what does all this mean, man? What it means is this. It ain't easy. You got an enemy, and he ain't going to stop. So go ahead and get that in your mind. He ain't going to stop. So either you're going to do what you got to do to deal with him day in, day out, or you're going to fold. And what I mean by fold is you ain't going to lose your victory because you got that in Christ. But, man, he's going to whoop your hind part down here. Flat out. And you might look good. I'm not saying whoop your hind part says in you just going to look like a whatever right here. You probably look good. I mean, you wear your suit and clothes. All you got to do is go buy these things. You put these. Everybody can look good. But, man, you don't know what's up here. And this is where he wears people out. So you might have tons of money. But man, you could be at a place where you just hate that you're alive. That's what the enemy does. And when you hate that you're alive, but you got this Christ shirt on, you ain't going to be so confident to go talk to anybody about this Christ. Because, man, you like, how can that be? How can that be? That can be because you got an enemy that's trying his darnest to get you to not focus, not hang on to, not continue to persist in the things of God. You might like, this ain't no encouraging message. But what I'm telling you is this. The Bible says this also about the enemy. It says, be aware and be sober. This, I'm just giving you an awareness. And sometimes you wonder why people fall away, why blah, blah, blah. Don't worry about all that. But be aware, be sober. The enemy has a plan. If I'm aware and I'm sober that the enemy got a plan, I'm going to be working on my plan if I don't want him to take my goods. Just like in the natural, You know, whoever got a plan, then you have a plan of war also. We got to have a plan. And the plan is, right what Jesus said, when the crazy stuff starts happening, you got to open your mouth and you got to say the word of God. When the craziest, when your body, when we always blame it on when you get old and all this other stuff. But when if that's your crack and the enemy gets in with some little something, you got to say the word of God. You got to say the word. That's what he demonstrates. You got to say the word. You can't say what the world's saying. You got to say the word of God. Samson confessed something. It was the wrong crap. Jesus confessed something. It was the right stuff. And the enemy left. He has to. He has to. He has to. And the word for today is, hopefully, my intent is you get that he ain't going to stop. So you just need to, you just need to make a decision about what you're going to do. It don't take keep you from going to heaven or nothing else. That's sealed. That's done. But in this earth realm, to live this victorious, confident life in Christ Jesus, you're going to have to deal with this a lot. Because what this does, it eventually comes out of this physical. And that's what we see. Like, oh, what the crap happened? Well, what the crap happened was a little crack got up there and they didn't do anything with it. They might have done something with it one time, but did they do something with it day after 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 day? That's what he does. It's constant. As I think Pastor Marquez says last week, this stuff we do ain't easy. It's tough. So we gotta make the decision to fight. Day, the enemy don't stop. We shouldn't. Everybody good? Are you good? Good? Are you good? Are you good? So I'll leave with this. The same patience and perseverance that the enemy takes you and diligence that the enemy uses to try to wipe you out, you got to have that same patience, that same perseverance, that same diligence to resist him. We do that by faith. That faith is we speak in the word of God and we trust in the word of God that when I say this word, that stops. And you got to do it. And you can't be looking at, well, did something happen? The sun or something didn't move by faith, meaning you just trusting that I spoke this word, it's done. And you got to do that every single day. You might have to do that 20 times a day. You might have to do it 50 times a day. That's just the nature of the peace. We're winners in Jesus Christ, right? We are winners in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So I just encourage you, man, don't quit. As tough as it is, the peace, the joy, the contentment that comes is worth it. That's all I can say, is worth it. Is worth it. Fighting the good fight of faith is worth it. It is worth it. And all you got to do is turn on the news and see that craziness and realize, well, I'm glad I ain't in that. You realize it's worth it. This peace I got, man, it's worth it. This joy I got, it is worth it. Yeah, my pocket ain't full of $1,000 bills, but I'm good. And that's how you got to look at it. It is worth it. So, all right, we're going to do this song. Hopefully she got it. And then we're going to wrap up. All right. Y'all need to stand on your feet because some of y'all like, yeah, I think so. All right, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. In Jesus Christ, we have God has never, 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 never lost. Hallelujah. All right, turn it up, Judy. Never lost.
I know. You never will. You can do all things. Oh, yeah. You can do all things. But fail. But you never lost the battle. No, you never lost the battle. And I know.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Guys, we got to believe that. We got to believe that whatever's going on, as we cling to the Word of God, we never lose. Never. Never. You just got to hold. I mean, you guys got to, I mean, sometimes that's all you can hold on to. You just got to God, you never lose. 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 The song says, I know. So we got to know that he never loses. That way we can hold on to it. All right. I'm done. So,
you've been listening to the Change Lives, Changing Lives radio broadcast, a ministry of New Day Christian Church. Please visit us at our website at www.newdaycc.com. Again, that's www.newdaycc.com. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please tell others. And if you ever get the opportunity, please come visit us at New Day Christian Church.